boxing. Just absolutely boxing. I'm talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. Boxing. Just absolutely boxing.
All right, welcome back to Just Absolutely Boxing Podcast, hashtag Jab Podcast. We are back.
Episode 13.
13.
Episode 13. We come on Friday 13th. Are you superstitious, man?
Not really, but I'm not going to do nothing crazy on Friday 13th. I'm not going to take no chances on Friday 13th. I ain't superstitious, though, but I ain't going to test my luck on Friday 13th because it could just be that day.
You know what I mean? It could be something about it, some energy out
there.
Yeah,
it could be some negative energy. Yeah, for sure.
What's going on, P?
Not too much, man. What's up, everybody? Just doing what we do. You know, like I said before, me and Ant work in the medical field. It's kind of stressful. Feel to work in, so it's just, you know, we look forward to doing this to unwind. You know, people, you get money, it's not really about the money, it's about doing something that we love to do and it's relaxing and enjoyable. So you know, with that being said,
but you know, I've been all right. I've been a little bit under the weather, you know. You can probably tell the way I sound, just a little congested, but because before this I was on like a 2-year sick free streak.
Yeah, me too, man.
I've been around people at work coughing, not covering their damn mouth.
This weather too, though, man.
Yeah, that too.
Hot, then it's cold. Now it's super humid again.
Yeah, usually I can take it. You know, I usually can take it. Like before that, I was on like a 5-year sick streak. Yeah. You know, sick free streak. But finally hit me because they a guy at work. You know, just coughing, not covering his mouth. Yeah, so.
We're trying to get out the damn workforce.
But this episode we're gonna probably have to call Junior Middleweight Madness, man, because I mean, we got 3 title fights on one card. You got Aris Landy Lara versus Terrell Garcia. That's for the I'll go through the belts when we get started. But this Jermell Charlo versus Erickson Lubin and Jared Herr versus Austin Trout. And that's all on Showtime this Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So that's a good lineup, man. Right. That's a good lineup.
All of them at 154.
Yeah, all at 154. So sooner or later, you know, we're going to see some unification because those are some, you know, heavy hitters in the division that people want to see facing off now. But before we get into that card, just want to remind people that October 19th, you know, we still have those Thursday night fights that we're going to hit in the Raleigh-Durham area. It's in the Durham Armory. It's a Raging Bay promotion. It's on 220 Foster Street in Durham. So doors open at 7 p.m. So, yeah, we can probably get us some tickets and try to hit that, right,
Pete? Yes, sir.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, if any of the fans, y'all out there, come holler at us if you see us in the building. Well, we definitely be in the building. Come holler at us, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, enough little talk, so we're going to get right into it, man. As I was saying, this junior middleweight card is serious because I can't recall a card where we had this many championship bouts in the same division, you know, in one night like that.
Right.
Since we got Aris Landy Lara versus Terrell Garcia for his WBA title and Jermell Charlo versus Erickson Lubin for the WBC title. And Jared Herd versus Austin Trout for his IBF title. But Aris Landy Lara, he's a guy, you know, that a lot of people have ducked in the past. He's a really, really slick technical boxer that can make anybody look bad. So it's not that you're really scared of him. It's just that he can really make you look average. And that's what a lot of fighters are scared of.
It's that Cuban, man.
It's that Cuban background. Yeah.
People don't really want to dance with them. With these Cubans, man.
Yeah. Because I give props to Canelo for finally facing him, but I was kind of on the fence with that one. I kind of thought Lara pulled it out, you know,
absolutely,
for what I was looking for. But with Aris Landy Lara, I'm glad that he's finally getting the fight because, like I said, it takes forever for him to get a fight.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got this kid named Terrell Garcia stepping up. I don't know too much about.
He's a young kid, young up and coming kid. I mean, it could be premature, maybe not. You know what I'm saying? But he's a young up and comer. But that Cuban style is, he's gonna have his hands full with the Cuban style. And
when you're facing a guy like Lara, a guy who's just constantly moving, and, you know, he's a left-handed boxer. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really want to engage with you. He's constantly looking for space to breathe. For a guy, a young kid like Gasha, what do you think he has to do to be able to beat somebody like Lara?
From my limited perspective, I would think that you need to be familiar with the Cuban style, because if you ain't familiar with it, ain't you in for a long night. Yeah. You know, I mean, these guys are angles, they're moving, they're, it's something that if you've never faced it before, I can see it causing you a lot of problems. Yeah. A lot of problems. These guys are not there to hit. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. So, you know, with that being said, definitely he has to try to cut the ring off and try to apply some relentless pressure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the only thing. Yeah. I mean, because this guy's going to be moving around. He's not going to be engaging and exchanging too much with you. You know what I mean? He's going to be scoring points. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because I guess I was going to say, for a guy like Gasha that's a young kid coming up, you know, he's 20-0. I feel like, which you might disagree with, is that I think that he should kind of not show Lara the respect that a lot of other fighters do. You know, he should just say, not necessarily forget the Cuban background, but just say, forget that he's this most ducked fighter at 154, but just go straight at him.
That's why I say the pressure, Ant. Come in there, let him know effective you're not scared pressure. Of him. Yeah, effective pressure, I mean, you can't just follow him around all night. You got to cut the ring off and set traps and get this guy, you know, in places where you can score.
Yeah, because you know? One thing about, you know, you a fighter like him, you like Lara, you saying he's running, but he's not running. He's setting punch, you know, he's setting up angles, he's setting up counter punches, and when he fought a guy like Angulo that comes straight forward, you know, he's gonna have fun with you all day, just tagging. He did get dropped a few times, Lara did, but you know, but he was able to stop him. He was able to stop him with good counter punches. So I feel like, Gasha, he's going to have to apply some effective pressure.
Right.
Always be there and making Lara breathe hard. Right. You know?
And I mean, being a young kid, I don't know if he's able to do that, because not only is Lara a good fighter, but he's experienced. This guy's been around. He's seasoned.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not an easy fight. It's not an easy fight.
Do you think their records are kind of close? I mean, Lara is 24-2, but of course he has, you know, better opponents there. Do you think Gasha at 20-0, do you think he's really ready for this fight? Because I'm looking at his, you know, I'm looking at his record. Do you think he has that experience now, or should he just use the youth?
I mean, the youth will be his best asset in the fight, because it could be premature. Like I said, I mean, you're facing a guy who's can make a real ugly fight and is a good fighter. I mean, that's a lot for a guy who's not really polished or experienced. It'll be a good learning experience for him, but I could see it being a little premature, eh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too, because, you know, he's 20-0, but most of the fighters he were facing aren't really the heavy hitters at junior middleweight. Exactly. And I feel like if you did lose this fight as a learning experience, it's only going to get harder from here. Okay. Like, if you can't get past Lara just off the mental pressure of facing the most ducked guy in the division, if you can't get past that, you're going to have a long, hard road at 154. Right.
And one thing, too, Rand, I want to say is, like, Lara, he is, like, the most avoided guy in the division, but it's not because, it's just because of the ugly style. It's not like that same Triple G or Errol Spence most avoided. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
people don't want to tangle with those guys for health reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
So
yeah.
This is just a fight nobody really did. Like, man, it's not a lot of money. He's going to make it ugly. It's just, it's, you know.
Yeah.
That's why they don't really want to tangle with him, you know.
And that's something for listeners out there, if you're new to boxing, that you have to understand about different types of fights fighters avoid, where, like you said, there's the guys that are hazardous for your health, like Triple G, you know, and then there's guys like Laura who can make you look like they can just stink out the joint, make you look bad, you know. They can
it's
just
bad for your mental health.
It's bad for your mental health and make you go back thinking, do I know her? Do I really know how to throw a jab? You know, or do, am I throwing it right? Am I doing this right? So there's guys like that. And quick question. What style would you rather face if you were a fighter?
You mean as opposed to...
Yeah, like a Triple G style or a Lara style.
That's a good question, man. I know you asked me good questions, and I got to think about them. But I don't know, man. I mean, I would guess, I would say Lar, because that's probably a safer style. I mean, Triple G, you could get your brain rattled, and you might not be the same man. You know what I mean? Health-wise, you know what I'm saying? So I think the Lar style will be a little safer. You know, you might be mentally beat up, frustrated, you know, but Triple G, you're going to feel it. You know what I'm saying? After the fight.
You're going to feel it. And I guess, like, if I was thinking, in a fighter's perspective, I was looking at Canelo. If you are as good as you say you are, I guess the fighter I would, because somebody like Triple G, if you're in there with him, it builds your stock up and it builds your respect amongst the boxing world, you know, whether you win or lose.
Right.
But whenever you lose to somebody like Laura,
it's damaging.
It's damaging because people are saying you ain't the boxer that you, you couldn't handle that real technical style. You know, you couldn't find a way to make it an even playing field. Because I think people are mad about that Canelo Triple G decision, but they can't really question his heart. But a lot of people who don't like Canelo, or people who are just being honest about him, they always bring up that Lara fight. They bring up the Lara fight now because they say he was taking a page out of Lara's book when he fought Triple G.
People can say that. I told you that before. And Canelo was doing a lot of stuff that wasn't familiar. Canelo. Floyd, might have been some lore mixed up in there. Yeah. He was doing different stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Say before we move on, my prediction. I picked Lara by the unanimous decision.
Okay.
You know, like I said, I don't know too much about Gosh. I did look at a little bit of him. And just going off of the style and experience, I'd have to go with Lara.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look at his record, he has faced some of the best dangerous 154 pounders. You know, he's faced Canelo, which I honestly thought he won. You know, he gave Paul Williams hell. And Paul Williams, that was a controversial win for him. He's beat Austin Trout. You know, that's a fighter he's already faced. There's another guy that I would have said that this Terrell probably should have fought first. His name was Monte Rosen. He's kind of like a trial horse, you know. He kind of gives those guys, like, you know, Boo Boo's fought him, Charlo's fought him. He kind of gives them that test. I kind of think that would have been a good fight for him.
I mean, you got to wonder what made them put this fight together. I mean, this young kid is game. He's game. He's not just a young bum. He's game, but I still just think it's premature. And maybe, like you said, he should have had, you know, that gatekeeper fight first to, you know, maybe break him in, you know. I mean, because like you say, you know, they got almost the same record, but, you know, numbers in the boxing game don't really matter. No, you know what
don't.
I'm saying?
No, they don't.
You know, numbers other places matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, your 20-0 might not compare to my 20-0.
Yeah.
Might not compare. You know what I'm saying? Because of the quality of competition. So, but the young kid is up for the fight. So, but I still think Laura, being older, being a good fighter, and just having that technique, I just think it's going to be too much for him, you know. But overall, it'll be an awesome learning experience for him, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. because I don't see Laura taking any crazy chances in there, because he's going to know that Terrell is coming. He's coming with that style that's going to put some pressure on him, because he's going to have to be the one to really dictate, not necessarily dictate the pace, but to initiate that, you know, contact mostly. Terrell is.
Yeah, the young kid.
Because, you know, Laura, he likes to fight off the back foot and counter and set up the counter. So he's going to have to be the one coming forward with the pressure.
Right.
So with Terrell, I really would have liked to seen him in some other fights first, because honestly, like I said, we haven't really heard much about him. Mm-hmm. And to throw him in there with Laura is kind of like they're not thinking much of him.
Yeah.
You know?
Because Laura is a name at 154.
Yeah,
he's a not name. A huge name in the game, but at 154, he's a name.
Yeah. Yeah. And who would you have to go with?
I mean, like I said, I pretty much see it the same way. And,
you see,
I mean,
the same?
On paper, you know, just the experience, the resume, the style, it's going to be a lot for an inexperienced young kid to really deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just on paper, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to go with Laura by decision. That's both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at Gosh's age. He's about 30, which is, you know, that's still young.
Yeah.
But, he got.
I thought he was younger than that, though.
Yeah, I actually did, too. But I guess, you know, Laura's up there. Laura's 34.
Yeah.
But, you know, his boxing years are up there, though.
Yeah, because you gotta realize those Cuban, those amateur pedigree,
they be coming
background,
in. Yeah.
500 fights, you know, so, yeah. Yeah.
But pretty much all I got to say about that fight. Moving on to... this is the fight that you think is going to be the anthem, right? Jermell Charlo versus Erickson Lubin.
From the beginning, I didn't really know a whole lot about this Lubin kid. But then when I went and did my research, I got really excited about it. And I think that this fight might, it's a barn burner.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you got two young kids. Like you say, and the attitudes are there, the firepower is there. You know, both of them have power. Neither one of them have overwhelming power, but both of them have power. You know what I'm saying?
Jermell, he has decent power.
Yeah.
Not like his brother, Jamal, but yeah.
He got the power. Yeah, I tell you, I seen him drop a guy with a straight jab. I mean,
he got the power.
Put him on his butt. So, I mean, it's something there. It ain't, you know, what his brother has maybe, but the kid, Lubin, has some power too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I saw that one fight. Let me see if I can think. Erickson Lubin, when he fought back in March, he was just fighting a guy named Jorge. I can't remember his last name right now, but he was just putting that pressure on him. And it was just kind of this awkward style, but he looked confident. You know, Lubin looked confident even at, you know, with his record.
Yeah.
And he just kind of showed him something different. He just knocked the kid out cold, you know?
Yeah. The kid, I think he might be on to something, man. You know, if he keep doing what he's doing, you know, I like him. He's humble. He's humble, but he's confident, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we were talking about earlier, all the, you know, the back behind the scenes, you know, him and Broner Poza had a confrontation. Him and Hank Lundy Poza had a confrontation. And what people don't realize is things happen behind the scenes. Things happen in sparring. And these young fighters, sometimes they have to earn their respect. They have to go in there and prove themselves, you know, because some of the guys that are established, they might say you ain't nobody. And some of these kids feel like I was you 2 years ago.
Right.
I am somebody. And Lubin was one of those guys who was behind the scene, same with Earl Spence, same with Tank, you know, Tank Davis.
Yeah.
These guys were doing stuff behind the scenes that kind of elevated them to the forefront, you know,
and
the game.
Yeah, that's the kind of good thing about boxing, you know, whenever guys are in the gym and, you know, one guy might call you out and say, you ain't as good as you say you are, it don't really lead to, like, violence, like shooting or anything like that.
Yeah.
You have to prove yourself by getting in that
just
ring.
Just throw the gloves on.
That's
the beauty of it,
You and the other guy. And, I mean, it's a respectable way to do it. Because, I mean, when somebody says that you're not as good as you say you are, just keep a cool head and show them. Of course, with some of the rumors about this, some people said it's turned into like a street fight and everything. So,
Charlo and
with
and
the Lubin. With the Broner and Lubin.
Well, yeah, that's what they said. Yeah, the gloves came off. They said cooler heads prevail, but because you already got to imagine that though. Broner got a slick mouth, so I mean, and Lubin ain't no punk.
Yeah,
you know, so you add those two things together, and it was two people that was ready to, you know, get it popping. But I'm telling you, Adrian Broner might have started thinking twice once he seen this kid wasn't scared, because he seen what happened with Errol Spence.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And the thing I liked about Lubin, from what I seen, even after his knockout win, he just seemed like a guy, like, if you test him, he's gonna come at you.
Right.
But he ain't necessarily making noise like Broner or anything like that in the street. He's just like, hey, if you step over your boundary, I'm gonna knock you back
out. That's how you're supposed to do it, man. Yeah. That's how you're supposed to do it. Yeah,
because that's what he did at night, and I have to give him credit for fighting a guy like Jermell, because Jermell 29-0 and he's 18-0. That's
it. There you go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What's better than, okay, you two guys face each other next? So,
do you feel like this is a fight that's too soon for Lubin right now at 18-0?
A lot of people been saying that. When I was doing my research, you know, a lot of people were saying it's premature. I think there's a couple ways to look at it. I mean, Charlo is not that far advanced that, you know, to me, he's not in the same boat as Alar. You know, he hasn't faced the competition that Alar has faced. He's not Alar's age. He's not, doesn't have that amateur background. So, I mean, from what I seen from Lubin, I mean, anything can happen that night. I can't really say that it's premature. You know, some people say it's premature because of the numbers, but like we just said, numbers don't mean nothing. Numbers don't mean everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, numbers don't mean everything. Yeah.
The kid is game. He's got the power. You know, they've been talking mad trash. So, yeah. I mean, Saturday night is going down, man.
Yeah. And it's like, I have to agree with that, because it's not like everybody is constantly fighting everybody in 154, because you see there's a lot of holdups.
Oh, yeah.
We know the division is flooded with talent, but at the same time, it seems like you can't get Boo Boo in here with any of the Charlo. Now,
what's the last big fight we seen in 154?
Yeah, 154,
I mean, what was it?
Damn, let me think, man. Let's say Winky Wright, Shane Mosley.
I mean, something like that.
That was like an undisputed crown. So, yeah.
Cotto and Floyd. I mean, because they fought at 154, but it hasn't been a lot of big fights at 154. And we know that the talent is there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
yeah, that was definitely the biggest money fight. But, Shane Mosley, Winky Wright, that was like for those belts.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a time when you
And
got
that was what, 20 years ago?
20, yeah, almost.
So,
almost,
it's not something that we see often. That's what makes this weekend and this card like such a big deal.
Yeah.
For boxing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, you got three belts on the line. You got three top guys.
Two up-and-comers.
Yeah, possibly facing, some up-and-comers at 154.
With three up-and-comers.
Yeah, three up-and-comers. Yeah. That's what I said. You got three names facing three up-and-comers on 154. And, you know, we're going to see what happens.
So, we both are knowing. We both can sense a knockout in this fight. So, what's your prediction, man? Who do you think is getting knocked out?
I might just have to keep quiet, man, because I don't know. I really don't know. I have to see how the fight plays out maybe before I can assess something. Because right now I can't say it. You know, I don't know. I mean, both of them got the tools to knock one another out. You know what I mean? But who's going to get there first? You know. But one thing I want to say about Charlo, though, is... him and his brother, these guys are real emotional fighters. That can come back to hurt a fighter, bringing so much emotion into a fight. So,
Lubin,
he's talking trash, but he's calm. He's cool, calm, and collect. When I see Charlo, he's got big sweat rings. I mean, he's worked up, dude. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying that. Yeah, he do. Did you see that?
His team gets him amped up, too. They need to kind of tone it down, let him keep his head. Yeah.
You know, bringing all that emotion into a fight could very well be his downfall. You know what I'm saying?
Because, with you saying that, just knowing the type of fighter that Lubin showed himself as, the type of fighter that he's not scared of you, that might kind of get under Charlo's skin. Like, you better be scared of me, you know what I mean? Yeah, but if he ain't showing that scare, it might kind of mess
with his psychological mental warfare, man. That, he could really be scared, but I'm making him think I ain't scared. And this guy is used to fighting guys who were scared of him, or used to using that aggression to bully people or intimidate people, and it ain't intimidating me. You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, I just want to say, yeah, Charlo, he do got some power, because I remember that fight, that Charles Hadley fight. I posted a little clip on Facebook of it. On the night I watched it, and he knocked that dude out cold, you know, with that straight right hand.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, dude. I mean, he put it. I forget what fight it was, but he put this guy on his ass from a jab, man. I mean, it was a beautiful shot, perfectly on the chin. Dude went planted him on his ass from a jab. You know what I'm saying? And it was hurt bad. You know, I think he got back up, but he was hurt bad from a jab. Yeah. So, I mean, it might not be the freakish triple G power, but the kid got some pop.
Yeah, he's got pop, man. For prediction for me, like I said, I know this is going to end in a knockout. I think for Lubin to win is he going to have to kind of do like Terrell Gasha. He's going to have to not show Charlo too much respect. Mm-hmm. Understand that he can box and he does have more fights than you and a little bit more ring experience, but don't bow down to him. Mm-hmm. You got to show him that type of respect, but don't show him no respect. Like, hey, my power is just as good as your power.
Right. And like, for the casual boxing fan or a fan that may not be casual, when we say you can't let a guy know that you have to make a guy respect you, we mean that
Oh, that was good, because you would read my mind again.
But now I lost track.
My fault. When you explain to listeners that a fighter has to respect another fighter is different than being showing fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, when I say you want to make a fighter respect you, like Floyd, he doesn't have crazy power, but he has respectable power.
Right.
Meaning that he's making you second guess yourself enough to say, this guy, Floyd's jab hurts.
Coming in aimlessly. Yeah. You thinking about before you just come in, because about, you got stung a couple of times.
He's got you thinking about, because he's saying, I have to give his prop, power, his punching power props. But I think that Lubin has to do that to some effect with, Charlo's power. He's got to say, you got power, but I got power too.
I got power too.
And for Charlo, he just got to be the boxer like he was when he fought Charles Hadley, and the knockout will come.
Yeah.
And Lubin being kind of young and experienced and open at sometimes, that knockout might come early.
And another like interesting thing about the fight is this could be one of Charlo's most dangerous fights, because this kid, he's buzzing behind the scenes. He's buzzing behind the scenes from a few things that he's done. So it's like, Charlo could be in his mind thinking, we don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
We don't know what he's thinking, because, he's fought guys before, but, he's fought tough guys before, but this guy, this seems a little different to me. And this seems like a guy that's coming to get what Charlo has. He's coming for it,
The guys were like there to compete, but for some reason, like Erickson Lubin, just after seeing his last fight that he was in and the way he's not backing down, he wants this fight.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm Team Canelo, but unlike Canelo, Canelo wasn't screaming on Charlo, but, Lubin's like, I'm there. I'm ready to take this.
There.
So,
I'm there.
That's why I take my hat off to the kid, because he wants it. But as far as your prediction, you said
it's kind of 50-50. That's okay. Just to be the easiest way to say it. Yeah. 50-50.
Same with me. Like I said, I know it's going to end in a knockout, but I don't know who.
Right.
I just got to say, may the best man win, because I like both fighters.
Both guys are decent guys. I don't have any ill will toward. If either guy won, it wouldn't bother me. You know what I'm saying?
It would just mean that
one guy went up, one guy has work to do, you know? I mean, and that's the basis of boxing. Only one person can win, dude. Somebody has to lose. You know what I mean? And people will kill me with that. Somebody's got to lose. But a loss.
Unless Adelaide Bird is a judge.
Yeah, unless Adelaide Bird is a judge. But I'm just saying, even still, a loss is not the end of your career.
No, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Especially with this division, when you look at all the names in it, somebody, like you said, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. And to lose to this guy doesn't make you the worst fighter in the world.
I promise. It's a box out there somewhere who will say that loss was the best thing that ever happened to me, because things happen for a reason sometimes. Yeah. And we just, you know, a loss is not the worst thing that can happen. It's not nothing you want to happen, but it's not the worst thing that can happen. You know what I'm saying?
Because when you look at, you know, guy, we always get through example that way, Thomas Hearns, he has some losses on his record. I'm sure, you know, he has his moments where he wished he would have won certain fights, but he's earned so much respect from him. You know, when you look at his resume and say, damn, he faced everybody.
And then I honestly believe some guys, they know when they went out there and they gave it 100% and they came with I think they can live with that. When, you know, I went out there, he rocked me, I rocked him. We just went back and forth. It was super competitive. He got the nod. You know, I can live with that.
And that's why I say with this fight, there's really no loser. Yeah. As far as, you know.
If they both bring what we've seen them bring, it ain't going to be no loser that night.
Yeah, it ain't going to be no losers.
Know? If both of these guys come how they normally come, it's not going to be a loser that night, you know. In the big picture, in the, you know, the big scheme of things, it ain't going to be no loser.
Yeah.
You know.
And moving on to the last fight, Jared Herd versus Austin Trout. This is for Herd's IBF belt. I actually felt like that the Charlo fight was more of the main event. Do you?
I did.
Just a little bit.
I mean, it's a little bit. Trust me, it's the fight people want to see Saturday. Yeah. It's definitely the fight people want to see Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, maybe Trout. Maybe he has a bigger. I don't know. I wouldn't think he has. Well, I guess he has a bigger name. He's for Cotto. He's been Canelo. In there with some guys. You know, Canelo. Yeah. So, you know, I guess he is. You know, the biggest star in that aspect or whatever, mm-hmm. but. As far as what's going to happen Saturday night, the Charlo and Lubin fight. I got that outshining both other fights that night, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as far as fireworks, that's going to be the fight, man. Yeah. But Jared Herd, you know, I've seen a few of his fights. He's a showman. He likes to put on a show.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's still kind of a work in progress, too. He's about 6'1", so you know he's he looks like every time I see him, he kind of looks like middleweight to me. But I think he's big for the junior middleweight division. He's got a long jab. I just feel like sometimes he needs to use it a little bit more.
Yeah,
I think he needs to be, because he has some decent power too, mm-hmm. but I think he has to be a little bit more authoritative with it. Yeah. You know, like kind of like the Charlos. He needs to make his presence known.
But and this fight, I think he got a perfect dance partner for us to see that.
Yeah.
Because Trout is not a really aggressive guy. He's just like a, you know, fundamental boxer, just, you know, doing the regular things or whatever. And I think this will be a good opponent for him to bring out the best in her. I got him destroying Trout. I'm just saying that. You know what I mean? I don't even know a whole lot about him, but I just got him the stuff I looked at, the tape I seen on him, I mean, I think he definitely got enough to. It's a crossroads fight for Trout. Yeah. Trout is old. He's been in a few wars, you know, so.
Yeah, because Herd, like last 5-6 fights were stoppages. I'm just kind of nitpicking. I just feel like there were times when he had his opponent hurt and he could have just went on and jumped on him. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes got to be safety first.
Yeah.
You
and that cautious. Could be just. So, that's being just a novice, yeah. Being, be you novice, know, yeah. yeah, you know. But you like know, his confidence is getting better as he goes, you know.
But like you say, Austin Trout, this is definitely a crossroads fight for him that he has to win.
And think about it too,
he's got to win that.
Even if he wins, it's
can he hold on?
Yeah,
to
dude.
Can he hold on to it? It's like the question with Pacquiao, like. But, you know, Pacquiao, he's got a longer resume. But still, it's like, if Pacquiao beat Jeff Horn, what are you going to do from there?
Yeah.
What are you going to do from there? Because you ain't beating Thurman and Spence and so on.
No.
Kind of the same with Austin Trout. Like, I feel like his best years were when he beat Cotto. Mm-hmm. And he
That was his best year,
man. His best year. Okay.
That was his best year. I was trying to give him a little bit of credit.
I was trying to give him something, man.
I mean, honestly, I had really heard of him before he fought Kodo. I mean, when he fought Kodo, I was wondering who this kid was. Where did Kodo find him from? But he,
Kodo was probably asking the same question, maybe he should have did his homework because he lost him.
Yeah.
But I feel like he could have beat Canelo, but he didn't capitalize either in that fight. Yeah, because I watched that fight and I was like, first few rounds, he seemed a little shaky and he did the right thing. He kind of let Canelo gas out, but he should have kind of, you know, took the body game to Canelo and just kind of wore him out. Because, you know, Canelo gasses sometimes.
But the thing about Trout is it makes me want to question his heart, because he seems like he can contends with losing after a while. You know, he says, all right, because that fight was a highly competitive fight and Trout didn't dispute it at all. He just, it was a close fight and a high competitive fight. And he just act like, I knew I lost. I'm like, dude, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you getting there, gave a decent performance. You need to speak up on that. I mean, it is what it is. You can't change the decision, but I'm just saying, I mean, he conceded like he lost, you know?
He kind of has that one gear
that
some fighters have. They can get up for certain fights, but when it comes to the big ones, they don't exceed. Because, you know, he fought Jermall. He's fought Jermall in the past and he lost that fight. Yeah. And after the Canelo fight, he fought Lara and lost.
All the big fights, he comes up short, except for Kodo. He's come up short, you know. And to be honest, he probably just caught Kodo on an off night. I mean, Kodo, by all means, is a way better boxer.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. He's a legend. Caught Kodo bad night. Maybe Kodo didn't prepare. I don't know, you know, whatever the case may be. But he pulled that one out that night. But if they fought 10 times, Kodo's going to win nine out of 10. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, his, you know, Kodo's resume speaks for itself.
Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. Yes. You know.
But looking at Jarrett Hurd, he has so many blueprints to go off of. Yeah. You know, he could take it to him.
Yeah.
He could lay back and box him. You know, he is the younger guy. He's the taller guy. You know, he's got a better jab. And like I said, he likes to take his time, which might kind of pull in Trout at this age, you know, might be a good fight for him to show his skill, you know, because, you know, Trout being a little bit older and slower than him, he can kind of take his time. Or if he wants, he could possibly close the show. He'd probably be the first person to stop him because he's got the power.
Yeah.
He's definitely got the power.
We might see that Saturday night, man. Because, I mean, I haven't seen anything from him really, dude. I mean, it's like you say, he got the one gear. He don't have that extra gear when it's time to
level up.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of not good for a boxer. You know what I mean? When you only got one gear, because sometimes you need to be able to switch into that third, fourth gear when it get hard and, you know, level up on this guy. I mean, and everybody's not able to do that. And then Trout doesn't really seem like a guy who was able to do that. And then at this stage of his career, you know, he's what, 34, 35, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, how much leveling up do he still got left in him?
Level up, that's something you got to do.
It's either in you or not, and to me. You know, Andre Ward, it's in him. It's in him. Andre Ward, Floyd, when it's time to hit that button, and they know how to do it.
They know how to do
it. You know?
Because that's something my dad used to talk about in the past. Like, his words weren't level up, you know, being older, but he was like watching certain fights and he would just go through a list of guys where he was like, I see them doing such and such, but when it comes crunch time, they don't show me nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, they're not doing certain moves, or like Ernie Shavers, you know, Ernie Shavers from back in his time.
And
one of the hardest punches
heavyweights in that time.
But when my dad would watch him, he's like, once he goes to that distance, there's something about him. He ain't got it. Mm. He didn't have it. That's why he would lose to guys like Ali and so on. He just didn't have that level up, because once your power can't dictate the fight anymore, you got to use something else.
You got to use something. Another guy like that was Floyd Patterson. You know, he was a champion for a while, and he was a nice guy, he was a decent guy, but he couldn't level up, man. And once he got in there with guys who was leveling up, it's like he just conceded to the loss. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's a factor, man. Be happy to level up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like you said, I think it's something you're just born with.
Yeah. It is, dude, because...
You can't teach.
Because a guy can't be in a fight with you whispering in your ear, all right, man, level up now. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to know when to level up.
Right.
You know, you could, just because you go to the corner don't mean it's time to level up in that corner. A level up could be in the middle of a round after a shot.
If it was that easy, trainers wouldn't be screaming at you.
They wouldn't be screaming at you, dude. They wouldn't be irate in the corner sometimes. You know what I mean?
No, rest in peace, Emmanuel Stewart. He wouldn't be screaming like he was at Lennox Lewis. Jermaine Taylor.
You know, and we talking about one of the greatest of all times, you know, trainer.
Yeah.
And we seen him lose it a few times. You know what I mean? And Emmanuel, most of the time, he was cool, calm, and collect. But we've seen him lose it sometimes. And like he said, it's hard to get a fighter to follow instructions. You know what I mean? We can say in the corner, he's yes, sir, yes, sir. Then when he goes out there, all that go out the window, you know. So shout out to Emmanuel Stewart. Rest in peace, man. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, one of the best trainers ever.
Yeah.
But going back to leveling up, that's for non-boxing fans, you know, listeners who just listening up. Leveling up, that's something we just say because we watch boxing so long and we know what that is, like when a fighter has to dig deep.
Right.
When they got to dig deep. So people, when you're watching boxing and you see the fighter you want to win just not exceeding, not doing what he has to do, that means he's not leveling up. But when you see a guy like Terrence Crawford, if one thing's not working and he's able to reach in his bag and pull out another trick and stop a guy or just win a fight in a dominant fashion, that's leveling up.
Absolutely.
That's the level up. And that's the best way to explain it, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you can go into that extra tank and get some more gas and go another, you know, five rounds or whatever it may be, you know, it's been examples where we can say leveling up. I mean, the guy's been losing. He's been losing. Then, I mean, midway through the fight, he figured something out, leveled up. And just changed the whole dynamics of the fight. You know what I mean? And those things can happen. Those things can happen.
And when we're watching that, it's not like you see this glow and boom, they just hit. It's just amazing to us when we're watching it because it's just like this one little thing they change, you know? Yeah. Just when you watch boxing so long, you could just see that gradual change. It ain't like this huge, dramatic change like in a Rocky movie or something.
Exactly. It's not like Hollywood.
Yeah.
A good example of it is the Ward Kovalev first fight.
Yeah.
First round, good he point. Took it to Ward. Second round, dropped him. The world thinking Ward is done.
Yep.
We thinking Ward is done. We've never seen him done like this. But the boy leveled up.
Yep.
The boy leveled up and did enough to convince some people that he won. I mean, this still was a very close fight and controversial decision, but the fact that he leveled up and came back from that deficit, it made the difference because he could level up. You know what I mean? Had the fight had went the way it was going, I mean, it would have been a unanimous decision for Kovalev. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Easy.
And the one little example in that fight of leveling up is when he took Kovalev's right hand away.
Took it away.
After he got knocked down, did you ever see him get hit clean with it?
Took it away.
He took it away. And that's what was amazing to me.
Amazing. You know, they didn't get rattled by the knockdown. Leveled up from the knockdown. Yep. That's the thing. Some people will get knocked down and get rattled and get nervous. No, he took it on the chin and leveled up, man.
Yeah. He didn't lay on the ropes.
You know what I mean?
And try to smile or overplay it like, hey, I'm okay. No, he came back out
third round. Getting busy.
He wasn't phased.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the thing is, if he was phased, we didn't know. You know what I mean?
We didn't know.
It is a performance, too. You know, we don't know all the things that's going through these guys' head. But, you know, if he was rattled, he didn't let us know. And that's part of leveling up, man.
Yeah.
It's poker face, too. You got to, you can't let this guy know that you're hurt or your leg is hurt or you hurt him to the body. You can't, you got to have on your poker face. You know what I mean? Ward definitely leveled up in that fight.
That's the funny thing, too, like, with Floyd Mayweather, everything he's doing isn't in the actual 3 minutes of the round. It's, like, after. If you're ever watching him in his corner, he's, like, he's looking at his opponent, you know, while Roger's over there talking to him. He's, like, looking at the corner, looking at his facial expression,
But, and with that does to the other corner is, why ain't this guy paying attention to his trainer? Exactly. He's peeping over here. So that's playing on his mind. Yeah. You know what I mean? With that, why is he, what's going on? Why is he looking over here? Plays on your mental.
Like, he's got enough energy to look at me and not focus on what his trainer's saying. Right. And that right. takes out some of them. Right. So there's many ways of doing it.
There's so many ways of angles to this sport, man. That's why we love it, man.
Yeah.
It's chess, man.
It's a science. It's a beautiful science, man. But, going back to Austin Trout, for him to win the fight, he's going to have to find that gear that he's never had before. Yeah. And I don't think he can, man. For this one, I have to say Jared Hurd is going to break him down and stop him in the later rounds. Because I have to give Austin Trout credit as far as his chin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's able to stay in there. One time I remember he got dropped was at Canelo right hand.
I think it was Canelo, and he did his leg, did that the leg little Popeye dance. Yeah,
that thing came out from under him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think Hurd just has that, I think he has that decent power where it's going to break him down enough to make him stop maybe like the 10th or 11th round. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, Ant. You know, it's just, it's not that Hurd is some super, super talented kid. He's a work in progress, but I just think that he has enough to take it to Austin Trout, man. I mean, we're just talking about a guy who in the last year hasn't been really impressive at all. Ain't? I mean, he's never really been impressive to me. He's been a decent fighter, but, you know, he reminds me of a Danny Jacobs, but Danny Jacobs is way more better. You know what I'm saying?
Danny Jacobs has that level.
He has that. He can level up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's way more better.
That's where they break apart.
That's the difference. They're kind of like similar fighters, but the leveling up is what separates them. You know what I mean?
And what's in their eyes, like when Jacobs stood there staring down Golovkin or just any of the fights he's had in the past, Peter Quillen, he just has no fear in him.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't show the fear in him. Like when we saw Trout get dropped by Canelo, he was not in survival mode, but he was more watching for it.
Yeah, he was on Quail Street, a little tiny, but them legs was like you say, man. You know, we haven't seen
his best.
Yeah, we haven't seen his best. You know, we haven't seen his best, but you know, we got these young, and then too, and another thing is. In one aspect, a lot of people think that boxing is dead and it's going away. They don't really understand, like, the subculture of boxing is really, really growing. It's young kids. I mean, it's a resurgence in the sport, and it's a lot of talent out there that's coming up in the game. So, you know, kind of with that being said, these young guys are coming with, like, some extra incentive and, you know, they come with more edge now, because it's so much more on the line. I mean, it's millions on the line now. And at one time, it was never millions on the line.
No.
Now, it's millions on the line.
Before, it was like, I think it was just like another branch of the military. You know, fighters, you know, you were either getting drafted or if you didn't have money. Yeah, if you were poor, you went in the Army or you went in the Navy. You know, if you didn't have these set skills, you took it to the gym and the ring.
Right.
And you fought for this amount of dollars and you were never rich. You know, some of these fighters in the past had 60, 80 fights, but how many of them can you say are billionaires now?
Right.
You know?
None of them.
but now, so many of these young kids know that if they play their cards right, you know, get that right hand, that they can...
Two or three years, they're retired. You could be a millionaire.
Yeah, you can be retired by 25, 26. So, I mean, and I think that's what kind of adds more of an edge to it today. Yeah.
And that's what's going to bring the sport back, Ant, because you have more people gunning for that now. I mean, they know that the money is there now, and I mean, who doesn't want to fight for the money? Put it all on the line for the money. I mean, you're not going to play basketball for the money. You're going to fight for the money.
You got to fight for it.
So
it's like Andre Ward. He said it best when he said, I don't like Kovalev because he's trying to take food off my kid's table.
Right.
You know, that's how he sees it. He's trying to take the money out of my hands, so I gotta fight.
I gotta fight for the money.
I gotta fight for the money
because the money is there. It's there. We know the money is there now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, back in the day, it wasn't necessarily there unless you had a huge name, you know, or was aligned with a certain promoter or, you know, but the money is there now, dude. And there's a lot to do with social media, all these different platforms and outlets that we have now. You know, a guy can promote himself. Yep. You know what I mean? You still need a promoter to get you fights and stuff like that. But a guy can actually promote himself, like, as a person. You know, you can get people to know your personality. You can get people to just get to know you.
Yeah, those fans in some way become your co-promoter, because they get you a promoter whenever, say, Bob Arum sees you have X amount of followers on Instagram. He's like, I need to get that kid because he's going to get us money.
Right.
So, yeah, Instagram, Facebook, it's a big thing for fighters now.
All these platforms.
And of course, you know, it can be misused, it can be abused. So, I mean, it just has to be kind of dealt out, used in the certain amount.
In the right way. I mean, it's like anything. Yeah, people can use it and probably ruin their career.
They can ruin it.
But you can sit back, because like I always say to Aunt, I mean, me being a little bit older, we always look at it like, what? YouTube, what? I would have been doing this, I would have been doing that. But the young kids, they're born into it. They don't really realize that this stuff didn't exist, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't really see it the way the older people see it. The older people are like, man, you got all these tools at your hand and you broke and you ain't doing nothing with them. Yeah. What are you doing?
Right.
You know, so that's what I'm just saying. Like, the older generation from the 80s, they got shunned away from the sport, but now it's just ushering in a whole new wave.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, talent to the sport. You know, Floyd Mayweather has transcended the sport. I mean, across the globe. So it's just, it's in a good place, eh? You know, people think boxing is dead, but it's really in a good place.
It's in a good place. I mean, if you think it's almost on its way to being a better place, because you have young guys out here that, With the promotion they can give themselves on social media, they don't have to worry about the middleman.
Right.
They don't have to worry about some of the things the older generation went through, getting ripped off.
Right.
They have the ability to make their money now.
Right.
And at the same time, yeah, we know this is a sport, you know, this is a hurt game, but at the same time, they have the ability to evolve and evolve the style, because boxing is about, you know, hit and not get hit. So they have the ability to evolve that and make it more of a chess match now. So.
And think about it from this perspective too, Ant. Like, you know, most sports, you sign a contract, $20 million for 4 years. Boxing ain't like that. It's fight by fight. You can get $20 million for one fight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you play your cards right.
Yeah.
That adds a different element to the sport too, because a lot of these other sports, I gotta sign this contract, I can't wear this, I gotta dress up, I gotta have this image. It's not really that same thing with boxing.
But you know, it's I'm glad you brought that up, because my mom actually brought this up. She said that the downside to that, though, for like boxers versus the NFL, is like they have like a retirement. See, boxers don't, you know, whatever you make is what you make, so you don't really have that. I really don't understand how the NFL works myself, as far as
neither, because like, there's guys in the NFL that's broke, that's injured.
Yeah, because people tell me that, you know, they have the retirement. You know, when you retire, you still get money or something like that, or you medically taken care of. But see, with boxers, you don't have that.
You don't have
so that. I understand fighters now that they have to make as much money as they can, because your life is always on
but
the
line. But that's
the
beauty of it, though, Ant. You can do that.
You can do that.
You can do that. You know, another sport, you sign a contract. If they don't like you, you don't perform, your contract is done.
Yeah.
You out.
Granted, you got to negotiate and fight for it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Fight out of the ring and in the ring for it.
So, I mean, a fight, like I say, a guy can strategically place himself and get $20 million for fight after fight. You know what I mean? So, in that aspect, okay, you getting $20 million fight, you need to have retirement. You got a 403B. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got it.
You know what I mean? Because they're able to generate that type of money. And I'm just saying, as far as the freedoms, you know, because in these other sports, these contracts, you know, they got rules, man. They got rules they gotta follow.
Got rules,
you know, you can't be seen doing this. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, boxers have rules under the commission, but they don't have to wear dress clothes. They don't have to stand on a... And you know what I mean? It's a lot of different freedoms because it's kind of like an independent sport. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
which I could live with.
Me all too. Day long. I prefer that.
I'd rather get punched in the face than told I can't be here at this certain time. That.
You can't wear jewelry. Whatever it is, and even if it's wrong, I don't think these people should be able to control you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, if you're an athlete and you're expressing yourself, and you know, as long as you're not hurting nobody or offending nobody, you know, you should be able to do that. But you know, some of these things like the NBA, you got to wear a suit to certain things, and you know, just a lot of little rules and little things that they have to abide by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where a boxer, it's a lot more freedom, man. You're more in control of your career.
Yeah,
as a boxer,
that's the best way to put it. Yeah, you know, and it goes back to why we love boxing. It's the individual sport.
It's the individuality. It's the individuality.
Because going back to basketball. You know, just there's no individuality at some point.
No, it's team. It's all teamwork. It's all team.
That's why you're always in that majority whenever people are looking at you. We all have to conform to these rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, you're going to wear the same uniform, but you got to conform to this dress code. You got to conform to, like you said, you can't wear certain jewelry. Yeah. You can't be out at this club late at night.
Right. It's that conformity. Yeah. Boxing coming there with a damn, he can be like, Prince Nassim and coming Nassim on the flying carpet. You know what I'm saying?
The Camacho up in there, and them Roman trunks or whatever.
The fringes on. Yeah. You know, it's whatever. Yeah. And I like that freedom of expression a whole lot more. I mean, a lot of these NBA guys, they can't say what they want. They can't do what they wanted. You know what I mean? They're making a lot of money, but they're constricted.
And there's something about it for me, probably for you too, it's just so satisfying for me, like, to see one of these boxing stars and they go in the ring and fight for it and they win that $20 million payday.
Of course.
You know, versus like knowing these basketball players. Yeah, I'm not hating, but I'm just saying, yeah, they making that money too. But this is something about seeing that fighter get in the ring, Felix Trinidad, anybody.
And because at the end of the day, a fighter is earning. A guy on a basketball team could be sitting on the bench and get a check in. He ain't sitting on no bench in boxing.
That's some things.
He ain't sitting on no bench. It's not that. A boxer has to go out and perform to get paid. Just the difference of it. You know what I mean? He has to go out. I mean, that's kind of like the downside. Some guys on the team, they might not play, but they still get a check.
Every quarter, you know, a fighter, they get in there 12 rounds.
They got to do it.
Every 3 minutes.
Got to do it.
You know, they're in that danger.
They got to do it, you know.
That's
But when it's all said and done, they get all the glory is theirs. The check is
theirs.
You know, all the props is theirs. The quarterback, it's not the point guard. It's the fighter.
It's the fighter.
But, you know, I mean, we could go on for days and
different levels
and aspects.
This junior middleweight card, like we're saying, all three of these being championship fights, these being some young up-and-comers, it just makes you happy to see three championship fights on a card, you know, and just seeing these guys that there's no limit to what they can do now versus before.
Right. Sky's the limit right now, you know. It's not a fight that's happening that on this card that we be like, man, that's, you know, all of these are legitimate fights.
Yeah.
Nothing is, oh, man, oh, he's going, you know, we got different perspectives because for different reasons, but all of them are legitimate fights. You know what I'm saying? We can't contest none of these fights. Like, oh, man, why, you know?
Yeah, we're not saying why are they happening.
Right.
You know, all three of these are
fights. We're glad they happening.
I'm sure the guys fighting are, you know, because I mean, you know, like I said, up and comers, undefeated fighters here. What more can you ask for?
Right.
So.
And all action fighters, too. I mean, we got Charlo, we got Lubin, we got Law. You know, we got guys who are going to be entertaining, you know, come Saturday night.
You know, man.
Hurt. You know, these guys are going to perform.
Yeah. I'm ready to see it, man. I'm ready to see this card. Yeah. But we're about an hour in, man. Was there anything else you wanted to say?
No, man. Just shout out to the listeners. Keep supporting. Keep listening. Keep, you know, hanging in there with us. And we're going to keep doing what we got
to
do.
You know, shout out to everybody that, you know, subscribed to us on iTunes. You know, drop those 5-star reviews for
reviews.
Us. You know, that just...
All that,
you know, that
we appreciate
that's
all
what makes
that,
you want
man.
To keep going.
I mean,
you know,
if you want to help us, that's what you can do. You subscribe, you can, you know, leave a review. People don't realize how, you know, satisfying that is hearing kind words about what you're doing and you love to do it. So that's very fulfilling. And I would encourage the listeners to keep doing what y'all doing. We see it.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I guess in closing, I just want to say that, you know, some people, they wonder why we like boxing so much. I mean, if you're not a fan of it and you're listening to the show, just kind of go pull up a fight on YouTube and just see how boxing is life. Yeah. You know, boxing is life. You're not physically fighting somebody every day, but you're fighting some type of battle.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you go home feeling like you got knocked out or you lost for that day, but there's another day coming. You got to get your behind day. Back in there and fight again.
And every dog has their day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah, that's just a fact. You know? I mean, not everybody's going to have a perfect record in life.
Right.
And boxing is a perfect example of that.
Absolutely.
You got people in life who took many L's, and they're the strongest people I know.
The strongest people. I mean, they say adversity builds character.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So if you ain't never been through nothing, you probably a square.
You a square.
You know, no offense.
You don't know what your limits could be or what you could really do. Because there's times in life when I had to just bite down, get up, and I didn't realize I was doing something that I didn't want to do, but...
Right. I mean, even this act, what we doing, getting together every week, committing to doing the show, you're not making a dime off of it, you're going all out our way, you know, in the midst of our busy lives, we got other stuff going on, but this is what we talking about, man. We make time to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know...
It's more like heart.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's just heart, man.
We ready to do
I'm just
this.
Going on heart right now. And fumes. Yeah. Ain't nothing there. I'm just going on fumes, man.
I'm just coming over a cough, but I ain't coughed maybe a couple of times because I'm just in it. You know. But that's pretty much all we got for this evening. Again, you know, you make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Subscribe and just rate. Like I said, give us a rating. Because that'll help with the show, you know, let people see it more and more when they hit search. Just search Jab Podcast or Just Absolutely Boxing. And you can find us on iCloud. Just hit follow, like on the episodes, Jab Podcast there. And just like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Jab Effect. Or you can visit jabeffect.com. But like I said, what else we got? Jab Effect YouTube channel. We'll be working on that soon. Yeah, we're going to work on that. But again,
just help us grow, y'all.
Yeah, just help us.
Just help us grow.
Yeah, that's all. That's all we had. Just listen.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. But again, my name is Ant.
It's your boy P.
And we about to sign off here. It's starting to rain now, so you got a long drive, right?
Yeah, it's all good.
But you can hang out and wait for a little bit, man. It's cool. All right, y'all. Peace.
Later.